The fifth sorrowful mystery, the crucifixion and death of Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Jesus and the two robbers have arrived on Calvary. The executioners offer the condemned men three rags to tie round their groins. Jesus, who strips himself slowly, refuses the one offered to him. He perhaps thinks that he can keep on his short drawers, but when told to take them off as well, he stretches out his hand to beg for one of the rags. But Mary has noticed everything. She has removed the long, thin, white veil covering her head under her dark mantle. She gives it to John so that he may hand it to Longinus for her son. Jesus turns his back towards the crowd, a back furrowed with bruises and blisters. Longinus gives him the veil. Jesus recognizes it and wraps it round his pelvis several times, fastening it carefully so that it may not fall off. And on the linen veil, so far soaked only with tears, the first drops of blood begin to fall. The robbers are tied to the crosses, which are carried to their places, one to the right, one to the left. They howl, swear, and curse. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
It is now Jesus' turn. He lies on the cross meekly, stretches out his arms and his legs as he is told, and takes care only to arrange his veil properly. Two executioners sit on his chest to hold him fast. One of them places the point of the nail on the wrist. He raises the hammer and gives the first stroke. Jesus, who had closed his eyes, utters a cry, has a contraction because of the sharp pain, and now opens his eyes, which are flooded with tears. Mary replies to the cry of her tortured son with a groan, but the strokes continue, methodical and hard, iron striking iron. The right hand is now nailed. They pass on to the left one. The hole in the wood does not correspond to the wrist, so they take a rope, tie it to the left wrist, and pull it until the joint is dislocated, tearing tendons and muscles. They then nail the hand where they can, that is, between the thumb and the other fingers. Those who were sitting on Jesus' chest now get up and move to his knees, because Jesus, with an involuntary movement, withdraws his legs upon seeing the very long nail, which is twice as long and as thick as those used for the hands. And they hammer and hammer and hammer. The harsh noise of iron is accompanied by the low, plaintive lament of a dove, which is the hoarse groaning of Mary, who bends more and more at each stroke. The cross is now dragged near the hole, jerking on the uneven ground and shaking the poor crucified. But when they let the cross drop into its hole, and before being made fast with stones and earth, it sways in all directions, shifting the poor body which hangs from three nails. At long last, The cross is made fast, and there is only the torture of being suspended. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
At the top, there is now the cross of Jesus. At the sides, the other two crosses. Longinus is standing upright between the cross of Jesus and the one on the right, and he seems to be mounting guard of honour for the martyr king. While looking around, Longinus sees Mary just under the slope with her tormented face raised towards her son. He calls one of the soldiers. If his mother wants to come up with her son who is escorting her, let her come. Escort her and help her. And Mary, with John, who is believed to be her son, passes beyond the cordon of soldiers and goes to the foot of the cross. The crowd showers the most disgraceful abuses on her at once. They then howl in chorus, "Descend from the cross and we will believe you! You, who want to destroy the temple! Fool! Look at it over there, the glorious and holy temple of Israel. It is untouchable, O blasphemer, and you are dying." Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
One of the Pharisees says, "Let us go to Lazarus and nail him to the other side of the cross." And while the other women, struck with terror, run behind the shepherds, Mary Magdalene comes forward, and finding in her grief the ancient boldness of her days of sin, she says, "Go, you will already find the soldiers of Rome in the mansion with 500 armed men of my land, and they will castrate you like old billy goats destined to feed the slaves of millstones." Longinus gives an order, and 50 soldiers who were resting come into action, and they prick the buttocks of the first Judeans they find. Jesus is silent but panting. He tries to find some relief by reducing the weight on his feet, pulling himself up with his arms and hanging from his hands. His thirst must be burning, so much so that he drinks the drops of his perspiration and his tears, as well as those of his blood that run down from his forehead to his moustache. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
The Judeans, driven beyond the open space, do not stop insulting, and the unrepentant robber echoes their insults. The other robber now looks at the mother with deeper and deeper compassion. He says to her, "We are criminals. Our mothers are dead. I would like to ask mine to forgive me, but shall I be able? She was a holy woman. I killed her with the sorrow I gave her. I am a sinner. Who will forgive me? Mother, in the name of your dying son, pray for me." The mother, for a moment, raises her tortured face and looks at him. She seems to caress him with her kind, gentle eyes. Then Jesus speaks for the first time, Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. This prayer overcomes all fear in Dismar the robber. He dares to look at the Christ and says, Lord, remember me when you are in your kingdom. I now repent of my sins before you, the Son of the Most High. I believe that you come from God. I believe in your power. I believe in your mercy. Christ, forgive me in the name of your Mother and of your Most Holy Father. Jesus turns his head and looks at him with deep compassion. He says, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. The repentant robber calms down. The light, previously very bright, is becoming greenish. It is in this frightening twilight that Jesus gives John to Mary and Mary to John. He lowers his head because the mother has gone closer to the cross to see him better, and he says, Woman, this is your son. Son, this is your mother. The poor mother tries to stifle her tears, but it is impossible for her not to weep. Jesus' sufferings increase more and more, and the light fades more and more. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
At a certain moment, Jesus collapses forward and downwards. Mary utters a cry, He is dead! It is a tragic cry that spreads in the dark air. Jesus seems really dead. And a volley of stones and clods of earth fly towards the cross, hitting the martyr and falling back on the armour of the Romans. Jesus moans pitifully and recovers his senses. He begins to breathe again, and his head moves from left to right. Then, with great difficulty, Jesus stiffens on the cross. He stands upright, raises his face, and shouts in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? Confessing his father's abandonment. People shout, Let us see whether Elijah, whom he is calling, will come to save him. The avalanches of desolate grief and the waves of the sins of all the world come back to strike the shipwrecked innocent and to submerge him in their bitterness. And above all, what returns is the sensation more crucifying than the cross itself, more despairing than any torture, that God has abandoned him, and that his prayer does not rise to his Father. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Darkness becomes deeper. Jerusalem disappears completely. And from that light, which is no longer light, comes the plaintive voice of Jesus. I am thirsty. A soldier goes towards a jar which contains some vinegar and gall. He takes the sponge, which is immersed in the liquid, sticks it on a thin, stiff cane, and offers it to the dying victim. Jesus leans forth eagerly, greedily sucks the sour, bitter drink, and his face shows disgust. He withdraws, loses heart, abandons himself. and fainter, sounding like a child's wailing, comes the invocation, "Mother, where are you?" She answers, "Your mother is here, she is here." It is heartrending. John weeps openly. Longinus is now standing at attention, as if he were on the steps of the imperial throne, and his eyes begin to shine with tears that only his iron discipline can control. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
There is dead silence. Then, in utter darkness, the words, "Everything is accomplished," are clearly heard, and Jesus' death rattle grows louder and louder. Time passes. There is silence again. Then the supplication pronounced with infinite kindness, with fervent prayer, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Further silence. The death rattle becomes fainter. Then there is the last spasm of Jesus, a dreadful convulsion that seems to tear the body hanging by the three nails from the cross. And then a powerful cry, unimaginable in that exhausted body, bursts forth. The loud cry mentioned by the Gospels and is the first part of the word "Mother" and nothing else. His head falls on his chest. His body leans forward. The trembling stops. He breathes no more. He has breathed his last. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
The earth gives a frightening rumble. Lightning streaks the sky in all directions, falling on the town, on the temple, on the crowd. Immediately afterwards, there is an earthquake and a tornado. John grasps the cross with one arm and supports Mary with the other. People fall, one on top of another. They fall into the openings of the ground and they roll down the slope. Mary raises her head and looks at her Jesus. She calls him three times. "Jesus! Jesus! Jesus!" Then, as a lightning flash forms a kind of crown above the top of Golgotha, she sees him motionless, all bent forward, and she understands. She stretches out her hands in the dark air and shouts, "My son! My son! My son!" Longinus approaches John, and in a low voice he says something to him. Then he makes a soldier give him a lance. He looks at the women who are attending to Mary, who is slowly recovering her strength. They all have their backs to the cross. Longinus places himself in front of the crucified Jesus. He ponders carefully how to deal the blow, and he strikes. The lance penetrates deeply from the bottom upwards, from right to left. "It is done, my friend," says Longinus. "Better so. As for a knight, and without fracturing bones, he was really a just man." A lot of water and just a trickle of blood, already tending to clot, drip from the word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea arrive with ladders, and having secured Pilate's permission to remove the body, they climb with levers and tongs. Mary has already placed herself with her back against the foot of the cross, ready to receive her Jesus in her lap. The left palm is unnailed, and then the feet. John has to make a great effort to hold and support the body of his master between the cross and his own body. But the unnailing of the right arm is the most difficult operation. At last, the nail is seized with the tongs and pulled out gently, and they cautiously bring the body down the ladders. When on the ground, they would like to lay him on the sheet that they have spread over their mantles, but Mary wants him. She has opened her mantle, letting it hang on one side, and she sits with her knees rather apart to form a cradle for her Jesus. He is now in his mother's lap. Mary is holding him with her right arm round his shoulders and her left one stretched over the abdomen to support him by the hips. When she succeeds in removing the torturing crown, she bends to cure all the scratches of the thorns with her kisses. She wipes the tears that drop on the cold body which is covered with blood, and she thinks of cleaning it with her tears and with her veil, which is still around Jesus' loins. She pulls one end of the veil towards herself, and she begins to clean and dry the holy limbs with it. While doing so, her hand touches the gash on his chest. Her little hand, covered with the linen veil, enters almost completely into the large hole of the wound. Mary bends to see in the dim light, and she sees. She sees the chest torn open, and the heart of her son. She utters a cry. A sword seems to be splitting her heart. She shouts and then throws herself on her son, and she seems dead too. They succor and console her. They want to take her divine dead son away from her, and she shouts, Where shall I put you? In which place, safe and worthy of you? Joseph says, Woman, my sepulchre is new and worthy of a great man. I give it to him, but I beg you, as it is getting dark, let us proceed. With Nicodemus and John at the shoulders, Joseph at the feet, they lift the corpse, enveloped in the sheet and resting on the mantles which act as a stretcher, and they set off down the road. Mary, supported by the Magdalene and the other women disciples, goes down towards the sepulchre with them. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell.
and lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy.